And welcome back to another amazing episode of Minority Reports. I'm your host, Mona Sheikh. And today we have a guest that you never thought that we could get this guest. And you know what? I did. And I'm very, very proud of it. Straight out of the shithole White House, we have Melania Trump with us today. And I would like to invite her to be a part of this conversation.
Okay. Here we go.
Melania, are you here?
I'm here. Oh, I am here in my glam room.
Oh, there you are, Melania. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. How are you holding up in these times where people are asking for equality? Does it feel like your rights are being taken away?
Well, I think it's interesting for me. It's an interesting time for me. I feel like I'm actually identifying more with the American people because social distancing and not working has taught ordinary Americans how I live. So we connect more.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you feel like the regular American? I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time processing that.
Yes, because I think we all understand what it's like to not work. You might call unemployed. I call marry rich. But the result is same. Is we both don't spend time working.
That's very true. Although, like, you know, I would say, in your case, like a lot of Americans are out of jobs and, you know, 25% of the country is now unemployed, as you probably don't know, because, you know, you have other things to do, like get your nails done and hair done, right?
Yes. It takes all day. Yes.
Yeah. I can totally understand. How is your husband holding up? I mean, is he consuming a lot more cheeseburgers and fries than usual?
Oh my goodness. Well, it's been a very hectic time in the White House, you know, because of social distancing. We had to try to figure out how to get his Arby's delivery every day.
Yes.
At first we tried Catapult, and then that broke because of the repeated use.
Yes.
And then we tried the pigeons. We had the delivery by pigeon, and then there was drama in the White House, and then someone wanted to use the pigeons to make more KFC in the middle of the night. I won't say who.
Yeah.
But then, so then that didn't work. So now we then built a McDonald's inside the West Wing. So we just solve all the problems.
Got it. No, your husband recently has been, he's very, usually very busy on his Twitter. Have you ever tried to take his phone away from him? So he doesn't tweet so much when he's sitting on the shitter? Like, how does that work for you?
Yeah, so we had a very, you know, his first of all, his phone tested positive for corona, syphilis, and poop.
Oh,
so
wow.
we had a plan. What we did is we just hired back Hope of the Hicks, and we had her basically lean over every 30 minutes and distract Donald with the cleavage, and then Dr. Fauci can grab the phone and sanitize.
Got it. Have you been tested for coronavirus?
I've not been tested for coronavirus because I've already had enough diseases that I feel like I am immune.
Got it. I mean, you're married to a virus, so that builds your immune system quite a bit.
That is a great point. I feel like I've gotten be able to get immunity, just like I've gotten immunity with the immigration. I feel like I have immunity for the corona.
Yes, I mean, I want to know your difficult journey from Slovenia to America. I mean, how hard was it for you to fit in that mail order bride box to be transported to New York? I mean, how tough was that?
You know, I think contrary to popular opinion, I did not come to this country in a shipping container.
Oh, okay.
No, like a lady, I blew a billionaire and took a plane.
Got it. And did you blow him in Slovenia or did you blow him in New York?
My NDA does not allow me to say, but let's just say there's no free rides.
There's no free ride. Got it. That makes a lot of sense. So, Melania, I mean, in all this, and now you have an extra fence around the White House, your chances of escaping have really reduced. How are you feeling about that?
Well, actually, you know, the two things. I am so proud of my Donald for building. It took him a few years, but he finally built the wall.
Yes.
Such an accomplishment. Also, don't forget, it's a little secret, corona to corona. So I sneak out of the Bill Clinton booty call tunnel.
Yes.
And I do a show called the Melania Trump Roadshow, Get Out the Vote and Get Me Out of the White House of Garbages.
Yes.
But so that is to get out of the vote because I want to get out of the White House of Garbage. You want me out and I want out. Okay. So we come together in 2020 and we get me out of that dump.
Yes. I mean, Melania, how do you feel when Donald shows up and he tries to take his clothes off in front of you? I mean, I don't even know. Does he? I mean, do you gag? Do you have a vomit bucket next to your bed? I mean, how do you get through that surreal and horrific moment?
Well, during our monthly sex appointment, he comes to my room and then I do a good thing. See, this squinting is so good. You understand, it has many functions. It makes it easier to lie. And also when you're lying down and you squint, it's like you can't see what's in front of you.
Yes. Okay. So the squinting is you're only seeing maybe 20% of what you want to see.
Yes. It's all blurred.
It's all blurred.
You can put in an imagination, I think, of someone like Brad Pitt or Obama. I mean, Brad Pitt. Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course. So it gives you time to process, to have an imagination that you're with someone else.
Yes, 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 yes.
I mean, how does your son Baron, I mean, how is he holding up? Is he right now training with the armed forces to take up guns and start shooting people on the outside of the White House? I mean, how is he preparing for all this?
You know, he's had a very hard time identifying with his father. I mean, even from the beginning, you know, my Donald, I wanted to name him Count, but then my Donald said, no son of mine will be named after breakfast cereal. Yeah. So he's had a very difficult relationship with his father, mostly because he's not Ivanka. And see, any child of Donald that's not Ivanka is not going to be accepted into the family.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, and speaking of Ivanka, how is that competition between you and Ivanka? I mean, I see that she really is, I'm sorry to say this, but she comes across more as the first lady than you do. You know, I think, how does that make you feel?
Well, we had a clarification there, Mona. At the beginning, it seemed that she was trying to take over first lady role. And then Donald, me and Ivanka had a conference together and we decided instead we will just groom her to be the next president so that she is in training now. Yes.
I see. And would you ever want to become the president of the United States? I mean, given your intelligence and your and skills.
Mona, I don't even want to be first lady. Oh my goodness. The picture taking demands and the picture taking demands and posing and posing and then Donald saying to smile. Oh my goodness. So difficult. I have no interest. I just want to get out of the White House. So I go from my dull life in the White House staring at the window to my rich and fulfilling life in Trump Tower staring at the window.
Yes, of course. I mean, look, it must be so hard to be that rich. And have no love, but you know, money solves a lot of problems. And I think in your case, it solves the problem of love too, I would think.
Oh, love, you know, that's such a Western idea. I think that's so funny. Love, marriage, fulfillment. I just find it so amusing.
Yeah, no,
yes.
Because that's not what you guys do in Slovenia. I mean, love and marriage, it's just like, who is that, you know?
Love is a path to a green card.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, speaking of green card, now your parents are in America and they're citizens. Mm.
Yes, I chain migrate, immigrated them, you call it chain migrate, chain immigrate. Yes, because it's called the chain migration because only wearing a diamond encrusted chain allows you to do it.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, your parents do they live near the White House? I mean, or do they live in your former Trump Tower? I mean, have they ever attempted to jump off the building knowing that they raised a daughter like that? How are they doing?
They're great because they live in luxury in the United States. And also, to be clear, all windows in Trump Tower are sealed in case someone wants to jump out. So, and same thing with the White House. No one can actually open the windows.
Nobody. So you can never open the windows. You have to constantly be escorted with the Secret Service.
Oh, yes. Not that I want to see the outside world, but yes, I can imagine that's something I want to do. Speaking of Secret Service, I'm going to acknowledge a rumbling in my stomach. So let's call my Secret Service. He's supposed to be here. So Jonathan Smith, I think he's in the waiting room.
Yeah, I think he's okay. Here. Let me bring him in. I think I got a message from Secret Service.
Okay. I need to speak to him immediately about the very important. Hello, Jonathan Smith. Jonathan Smith, are you there? I'm very tipped off with him.
Welcome, Jonathan Smith.
Yes, Your Grace.
Where is my nighttime carrot?
Listen, I can't get that to you right now, right? The president was very upset by the flack he's taking for tweeting about a 75-year-old man setting up his own brutal assault by the police.
Yeah.
So I had to take him down to the bunker and rub his back while he watched old episodes of Sean Hannity.
Make sure when you heat up his baba tonight, just make sure it's a lukewarm, not too hot. He doesn't like what it gets on the lips.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got in trouble for that.
Could you tell me what the baba is?
Oh, it's his nighttime bottle. He likes he still drinks Similac.
I see.
It reminds him of his childhood.
I mean, does he usually dip his cheeseburgers in that Similac, or the Similac is just the last thing he drinks before he goes to bed?
He usually doesn't dip his cheeseburgers in it because he eats his cheeseburgers in public and he doesn't want people to know that he has his nighttime baba, obviously, mm-hmm. because he is a very strong and charismatic man.
Yes, of course. I mean, now that, you know, so Melania, does he take you to the bunker with him, or how does that, or does he leave you out for people to just take over the White House?
And luckily, I have the best excuse. Corona has just been marvelous to me. So what I say is okay, Donald, you're around all those people. You don't want me to get sick and then not be able to help you with your reelection campaign. And so that I get to stay in my glam room for all of time. But I have my fly on the wall, my cockroach in the corona, Johnson Smith, and he gives me all the gossip.
That's wonderful.
Of course, my sun and stars.
Thank you, Johnson Smith. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, ma'am.
Are you going to hang around a little creepily, or are you going to listen in on our conversation, or are you going to head out?
I serve at the pleasure of the president and his hot wife.
Oh, Johnson Smith, I think they might want to know something about the. See, a lot of people are talking about the labor disputes and people being able to be treated fairly, but there is something going on in the White House right now that the Secret Service agents are really taking a hit. Johnson Smith, can you tell us about the labor problems?
Yeah, we're short-staffed right now. A lot of the Secret Service have been re-detailed to act as undercover agents agitating in the protests.
No.
To give POTUS an excuse to blame the violence and the situation on Black Lives Matter people. You didn't hear that from me.
No, but, of course not. No, of course not. We're gonna blur your face out when you say that part.
Yes. I appreciate that.
And then forget that Donald has been on a binging with the fast foods all to deal with all these stress. And then poor Secret Service agents had to double as the janitor.
It's true. I'm
very trying for them.
I'm unclogging a lot of toilets these days. It's isn't what I signed up for.
No, you didn't. Yes. I'm sure that's probably your fifth plunger at this point.
We go through them fairly quickly. They are government issue plungers, so of course they're poorly made and cost too much money.
Got it.
And just like Stephen Miller, for other reasons, all of now because of all the plunging, their forearms are very strong.
I see. Because that's how people keep in shape at the White House, by plunging toilets after POTUS.
Yeah, every Secret Service agent left here has the arms of a longshoreman.
Mm-hmm. Well, got it. That's that makes a lot of sense. So, Melania, what happens? I mean, are you rooting for your husband to be reelected in 2020?
Absolutely not. I want to get out of the White House garbage. That's why I hit the road and I do my Melania Trump roadshow. I want to get out. It's such a dump, Mona. You don't have to stand when I have to deal with. They have the same vacuum.
Life will be so hard for you.
They have the same vacuum since Hoover.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you know, I'm so afraid that Donald, he's the third president to be impeached. Yeah. But he will be the second to get stuck in the bathtub.
That's right. And you know that I think of all the things of the Trump presidency, I would say that would be the biggest tragedy.
It would. It would be so embarrassing because a forklift would have to come in to remove him.
Yes, that's very true. Have you, Melania, so once your husband leaves, President Trump leaves the White House, I mean, he's probably going to go to jail. So what would you visit him in jail? Or, I mean, they possibly might even come after you to try to jail you. I mean, are you going to go back to Slovenia to escape?
I hear that Jeff Bezos is hiring for a wife, so...
Oh, yeah, Jeff Bezos is going out with a mother of three children. So, you know, you at least have one, so he's into that.
Well, breaking up marriages is not difficult to do. It's what we train for.
That's right. I mean, is that like a Slovenian, you know, like a thing? Like, is that...
Well, I would say it's more my own masterwork. People say I'm not smart, but I think about it very, very closely. I think about when I took a marketing class in these schools, I thought about how can I market myself so that I get the best chance at the monies.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. Melania, how are you now? Have you thought about going out since you also want to get out of the White House? Have you thought about going out and protesting with the Black Lives Matter protesters?
See, it requires a few things. Leaving my house and caring about other people besides myself.
Yeah, that's a lot. I just asked a lot of you. Yeah, that's a lot. I'm requiring of you to feel something, and that's difficult.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's really challenging. No, I can totally understand it. So I see you wearing a few buttons. You got Vote 2020.
I do. Get me out of the, get the orange out right there. And I have a Melania Trump Roadshow button. I also have here Trump Off Soap. It's a thing that we made in the quarantine. It's antiviral and anti-fascist.
I like it. And it's Trump Off.
Trump Off, yes. It gets the orange out.
I thought it was going to say in the back, Trump Off and then Jump Off.
Well, like I said, the windows are closed. So we are not able, unfortunately.
Windows are closed. No, absolutely. Yes. Yes, please go ahead.
The window has to be closed between me and the Secret Service that are being treated the way they do. We have to make sure no one is tempted to end it all, end it early.
Now, we have Agent Johnson here, which kind of sounds a little dirty, but has any of the other Secret Service agents, I can only imagine what it's like seeing Donald Trump naked and trying to have sex with him. But I'm sure the secret agents are pretty, in shape and kind of hot and sexy. And has any one of them ever hit on you? Or have you ever been like, you know what, I'd like to see that naked?
Well, I just really, any time that I am tempted to do something that could get me out of my beautiful home and my private jet and my unlimited budget, I just close my eyes and count to 3.1 billion.
Yeah, no. And I mean, according to Forbes, they say that your husband is actually not worth as much as he claims himself to be. I mean, would you divorce him knowing that he was worth less than 3.1 billion?
As long as the black credit card works, Mona, I am happy.
I understand. Would you say, Melania, that you are the first gold digger in the history of gold diggers that ended up getting stuck with a job because all you wanted was a lavish lifestyle?
That would require thinking. Okay, let me try. Okay, so gold diggers in all of the history. So what would be an example of a gold digger that you know from the history?
You would be the history. You would be part of
it. Oh, okay, I'd be part of history, which is so exciting. Get stuck with the job that I don't want.
Yeah, I mean, gold diggers usually don't want to work, they just
want to. Well, I think that a lot of gold diggers who I find in my neighborhood in New York on the Upper East Side, they like to look down on me, but really in reality, they get stuck with the job that they don't want, and that is as the ex-wife. So luckily, I stay.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, you're doing great. And I don't know. Would you go and visit your husband in jail once he does go into prison for war crimes after this?
I'm not sure he will, because I know that Ivanka will pardon him when she's president. So therefore,
right. I mean, that is granted. That is if Ivanka gets elected as a president.
Yes. Well, I think, I've gotten to know America a little bit, and I do suspect that it will take the biggest cunt in the land in order for the America to elect a female president.
I see. And Melania, do you still miss doing those nude photo shoots? Now that you're the first lady do you miss those? Like, would you go back to doing nude photo shoots?
It would take a lot more work. I think at this point for me to really see me fully naked in the shape necessary in order to do the shoots at the ripe age of 51, it would take about 2 days of Botox and lipo. So it may be a little too much work.
Yeah, I can understand that. That's definitely, the squinting, of course, would still stay though. It's interesting, in your younger years, you weren't squinting as much. And as you've gotten older, you squint a lot. Is that because that's just a way of blurring out Trump's naked body and to yes. not see it so up close because it's so jarring.
Yeah. Deny reality. It's helping denying reality. That's my mantra, really. You know, when you're dealing with the corona, things are very difficult. What you can do is you wake up in the morning, you yeah. look in the mirror, and you say a mantra. Very simple. Denying yeah. reality every day keeps the panic attack away.
Yes. No, I like it a lot. Thank you very much, Melania Trump. This has been incredibly insightful and gut-wrenching, as I expected it to be. Agent Johnson, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you being here.
My pleasure, ma'am.
And Johnson Smith, I changed my mind. I really want the parsnip today, okay? So
I'll take care of it as soon as I get POTUS's Baba ready and get him his favorite blankie.
Yes, I know my root vegetables, Mona. I graduated from FITS, Slovenian Institute of Farmers Institute of Turnip Harvesting.
Ah, very nice. That's great. Thank you very much, Agent Johnson. Okay. Thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
Anytime, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay, be best. Mm.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Melania.
Okay,
Trump,
thank you. Okay, I'll be back. Okay, Lauren, be back. Lauren said she's coming back in just a minute. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so let me read.
Ooh.
Here we go.
There cool. you are. Well, welcome, Lauren. Thank you for that very that very disturbing portrayal of Melania Trump. Oh my God. Jesus Christ. I love your impersonation because it's so like she's so dead in the eyes. There is just no emotion whatsoever. And I think you captured it so well. So good job on your Melania Trump impersonation. Now, tell me, we'll get into your touring and everything, but I want to just know a little bit more about you. I mean, you're a New York comic. You're based out of New York. How long have you been doing comedy for, Lauren?
For a while. I mean, because it's like I've kind of been working it in like different capacities for a long time.
Yeah.
And I was doing like a solo show a few years ago and like the director was like, I feel like you just want to speak to the audience. And I was like, I think I do. And then I went to an open mic and I was like for stand up and I was like, oh shit, this is it.
Yeah. And this was how long ago?
This was like maybe like 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And then I started, And then I started developing, I was developing characters. And so it took me a while to figure out like where I stood, like trying to figure out like what to do, like with stand up and performing. And I was like, you know, doing stand up as myself and then doing characters on the side. And then I started doing Melania and then it all kind of came together doing stand up as Melania kind of on by mistake. I didn't plan it this way, but that's how it happened.
That's wonderful. And so do you take the Melania Trump character to different comedy clubs in New York City?
Yeah.
So you show up as Melania Trump.
I perform as Melania Trump. Yeah. Yeah.
And yes. So you're doing what? Like 10, 15, 20 minute sets as Melania?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And you're just doing, like, you're just talking as Melania.
Just joking as you know, I feel like joking. I have actually raps as well. So I like will integrate like a rap. And I'm joking. Yeah. Just talking about like her life, you know, like the thing with her is cause she's not a great person and I'm not going to make her the hero ever. But I think just empathizing with the audience, like about things we can agree on, like we don't like him. She can also make fun of him in like a way too. So that's,
And now, but your background is acting, right? You're an actress and then transitioned into stand-up.
Yeah. You know, I'm still auditioning and all that jazz. But I feel like I can like use my voice better in comedy.
I mean, I think stand-up comedy is just such a great platform. I mean, I would say that stand-up comedy single-handedly saved my life. And I'd say that all the time. You know, I'm a New York comic. I grew up in New York City and I've been out in LA for about 10 years now. But I started off doing comedy in New York and I was in New York twice last year. Just doing shows and I got booked on gigs that then flew me out for. I mean, have you done comedy in LA or have you just done comedy in New York?
You know, I went last September. I had like a window of time and some miles I could use to get out there. And then I just did, we did some stand up as Melania around town. I went around LA a little bit, just at, like some small little shows. And then made my way up the coast. It was interesting, actually. You know, I found like I did shows, you know, Oakland, San Francisco, and Santa Cruz, and LA. And I found that it's different than New York. You wouldn't expect this, but I found people were angrier on the West Coast. It was a different reception. It was like a different thing, like kind of animal I had to deal with. And I would think people in New York are angrier because they're just angrier people, but people were more angry in California.
When you say angry, like, what do you mean? Like you're doing Melania Trump and they're not laughing, they're angry?
Well, they've laughed, but I felt like their response to her was, how do I describe it? Like when I was on stage, I felt like I had a little bit of more of a hump to get over, which was great because it was able to like, it forced me to be able to like break down the barriers like right away. Mm. And like forced me to do that better. Yeah. Then in New York, where I felt like it at the time too, like the wildfires, like, and people couldn't do anything about it. Like Trump was doing, Donald was doing so many things about the wildfires, like not doing nothing about the wildfires and with immigration. And like, it felt like the atmosphere was really like tense with that.
Yeah. I mean, I know New Yorkers, like we tend to be just, you know, very edgy and we are like in your face and we let you know how we feel. But I think having now lived in LA for so long and my guess being almost an Angelino, being here 10 years and all, I think the vibe here is just so somber when it comes to politics because we see the damage that he's doing. And I think Californians just tend to be also very vocal, politically inclined, and be also very kind of vocal, mainly because we are, we're a very fucking liberal state, for God's sake. You know, we're a hardcore blue state. How has comedy been for you? Have you faced a lot of challenges since getting into comedy that, we can only have one female on the lineup?
Well, I think, because I will say, like, thinking about doing Melania stand-up, because that's the last year and a half, assume the hell it's coming on 2 years in October. That's what I've been focusing on. And I can't wait to this is over, y'all. Please let me stop doing this. Please. Please. I just want to do stand-up as myself. We got to get out. So it was interesting because, you know, although characters have been used in comedy since comedy began, a lot of comics are like these purist types and they're like, oh, comedy can only be one way. Right. And so I faced a lot of that. But it was great because, you know, standing up there and getting stink eye from a room full of comics when I was developing this, going to open mics and developing this act, was great practice because I will stare any audience in the face now because I've had to deal with that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I've been doing comedy for about 12, 13 years now. So I've been in the game for a bit. And I feel like whenever I go on the East Coast, I end up doing, I don't know how many rooms you hit up with the Melania Trump character and even just as yourself. But every time I go to the East Coast, I end up doing like 4 or 5 rooms a night. Like it's just intense. And we don't have that kind of luxury in LA. Now with the pandemic, forget about it. We're not having any of that. You know, everything is online anyways. But I mean, when you came and did stand-up comedy here, did you feel like you said people were angrier, but do you feel like a Melania Trump is more received well in New York or is it well received in LA?
I say it's the same. It's just a little different, I guess. Just like a little bit of audience reaction, but I think once I win them over, it's good. We're good.
Now, Lauren, what's your background? Are you from New York? Where are you from?
I'm from Queens. I'm a Queens girl.
You're Queens.
I'm from Howard Beach.
Howard Beach. Okay, cool. Why make that face?
Howard Beach is known.
You could be from Mississippi. You could be from Florida. You're from Howard
Beach. That's true. It's super racist in Howard Beach. Their ability to understand and appreciate diversity lends itself to be desired.
But I would think that would have changed now. I mean, Queens is so like ethnic now.
True. And that makes it, I think, even worse because they feel like they need to like keep. My mom actually, as an example, my mom sold her house to this South Asian family. And because they bought the house, like it was very simple. Like they wanted to buy the house. And she was like, okay. Yeah. And it caused like shit in the neighborhood. She had a deal with like some woman next door neighbor came and like tried to like shake my mom down. And we had it like, yeah, it was bad. And she was like, I'm not racist. Like, I'm not racist. I'm not racist. And it was like, yeah, we think you are. We're pretty sure of that.
Yeah, a little bit of a problem with brown people moving in.
Yeah. But what's amazing, I love this, the guy I moved in is like this like very ambivalent guy who's like, I'm going to have block parties or I'm going to have backyard parties and invite everyone on the block.
Oh, you're like, you don't even know what you're moving into. Poor guy.
Yeah, totally. But I think he'll win everyone over because the thing is, at the end of the day, like when your little kids hang out with their little kids.
Yes.
Like that's, kids don't care.
That's right. That's right. And kids really, they really are the ones who are just like, I don't give a shit. I like this person. They're good to me.
Yeah.
That's all that matters to me. I could freaking care less. So you grew up in Queens and then, you know, look, this is the one thing that I always talk about when I have my guests over is that stand up, I feel always, and just having done stand up for so long now, stand up to me always, at least great stand up to me always comes from a place of pain and tragedy. I mean, do you feel like pain and tragedy is one of our driving forces for you?
I think it's the, yes. And I do feel like it's like stand up is never like many stand ups. I feel like so many of us get backed into it because we're like, we'll do a little theater, we'll do this. And then we're like, stand up is the only place where you can, it's the most naked and vulnerable you can ever be on stage, I believe. So, I feel like I'm able to express things and be someone that I'm not able to be in like anything else I do. I could be like authentically myself.
Yeah.
And so that is definitely, and like I think doing Melania has come from a place of like anger and rage about what's going on.
Right. What about in your, I don't know, I mean, and this is not me prying, but has there been things in your personal life that have just kind of personally driven you to do stand up to talk about that level of trauma or pain in your life?
Yeah. I mean, I think like being queer, that experience definitely like encourages me to do that. Yeah. And I think just being queer is a huge one.
I mean, being queer in that neighborhood that you grew up in, I mean, first of all, so many questions. How old were you when you came out to your parents?
Oh, I was in college and the neighborhood made it clear they didn't want me there when I came back. I had like spiky hair and like boy jeans and like a ripped like tank top and came like striding in and they were like shout out the window, like you fucking dyke, get the fuck out of the neighborhood. They would follow us. Like I remember I was with my girlfriend, they followed us one day. Yeah, they made it really known that like I wasn't part of them and that I should get out. I should leave.
What about your parents? How were they?
You know, they tried. Now my mom's like a full on like advocate and she like has a gay best friend she hangs out with all the time. And you know, she's like, she's a super, super advocate. My dad is, you know, we need to work on him more, but,
Are you an only child?
I have two brothers and a sister. So, they're like super hetero, but like, they're also, everyone is like come around a bit. You know, like I think shows like even my great, like, what was that show? I'm forgetting the one with the gay guy and the best friend. And then the one who was like not as gay and the like appearing. And then the one who is more gay appearing. And then the best friend, Grace.
Will and Grace?
Will and Grace, that's right. Okay. Will and Grace, like, that just made a difference. I think my grandfather used to watch it all the time. And he was like an old school Italian. So.
Wow. And he, oh, and he loved the show.
Yeah.
I love that. I think Italian culture, I mean, your family, Italian, what are they? Are they Sicilian? Or are they, what, Napolitano?
Sicilian, Napolitano, Siciliano.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. I mean, you know, having, I grew up in New York, so you're like surrounded by Italians.
Yeah. Yeah. Where in New York did you grow up?
I grew up in New York City. I went to high school in Jersey City for 2 years. And then I moved to Midtown West. I used to live on 53rd and 7th.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Yeah, we had a, the South Asian community.
I was very married back then. So yeah, I got very, very young. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not, and that was a by choice. That was not an arranged marriage of any kind.
You just want to get married.
It wasn't even that I wanted to get married. I think it was just the circumstances of, you know, meeting someone and I have a fucked up childhood. So it was just like
this, yeah.
The fucked up pathway of like meeting this person.
Yeah.
I had only moved from Pakistan when I was 15. By the time I was 18, I was already out of the house.
Wow.
I only packed up my bags and I left.
And what do your parents think about this kind of stuff you talk about on stage?
I mean, my father passed away. My father passed away in 2005. Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing stand-up back then, so he never got to see the side of me. But my mom was there the first time I did my first open mic. She was there. She couldn't understand half the stuff because I was slinging a lot of dick jokes on stage. And she couldn't even understand half the stuff that was coming out of my mouth. And she just kept turning to people, and she's like, that is my daughter. And people were, like, horrified. They're like, oh, my God, does your mom know? Like, you're slinging these dick jokes. I'm like, dude, language barrier is a beautiful thing. Like, just leave that shit alone. Like, why the fuck not? But no, this is so great. So what's going on with your touring now? Are you gonna?
Yeah. So, basically we, made Melania into a thing where it would have my own show. I co-wrote it with Jesse Sneddon, who was on before Johnson Smith. And he plays my Secret Service agent. So we had a 32 show tour planned.
Yeah.
Around the South, Eastern Corridor and Midwest. And now it's obviously canceled. It was like supposed to happen in April and May, or May and June. So that's over. But so now we've done some stuff online. We do daily videos at themelaniashow.com. Also on our Instagram and TikTok at FlotusOfficial.
Yes.
So we're doing that. I'm also, have my book Inside Melania.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yes.
Coming out very soon. If people at my printing, at the printing press in Chicago will stop getting Corona, cause that's what's happening. Right. Like literally we're in a time where like the printing presses just don't run because of what's going on. So, but it's coming out like in 2 weeks, we think.
They don't have a digital copy of this?
Oh, we do. This comes out first with my publisher. That's what they do. So this will come out like a few weeks later. The ebook will come out.
Got it. No, this is really amazing. I'm sorry your tour got canceled. You know, you talked about being queer, and I'm sure like in conservative Italian homes, that's still a very kind of a taboo thing to be like, you're queer. Like what? Like what's being queer? You know, like I think there's a lot of like questions that they don't understand because it's the same in the South Asian culture or the Middle Eastern culture where they're just like, what do you mean? What do you mean you like girls? I like girls, girlfriends. Why are you, so what? You know, it's like, no, you don't understand. I like girls in a different way. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean? My mom, I have to explain my mom one day. She called me up and she's like, what is the lesbian? What they do? And I was like, wait, what? Well, I'm like, first of all, why are you asking me this? And second, I don't think you want to know because it'll like blow your mind. You know, I was like, it'll blow your mind that there's a whole world that exists of people who coexist with us who are just like us, live, breathe, talk like us. They're us, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big thing for my mom to process and I broke the whole lesbian world down to her. And she was like, oh, I did not know.
I think there's a lot of parallels between like a lot of traditional cultures, like a lot of like Jewish culture and Italian culture have a lot of similarities. I think the same with South Asian culture. There's often like parallels I find with the Italian community.
Lots. Big families, religion, right?
The gossip that goes passed around the family. Like everyone knows everyone's business.
Homophobia.
And, yeah. All of those great things.
Transphobia.
Yep. You know? Yep.
We say, what is queer? And you say, what's queer? You know, it's like, it's the same, like the same kind of like thinking and processing.
Yeah.
Traditional, get married, have children.
Yeah.
Have big families. Right.
Yeah. And yeah. Just also like taking my mom's like always, you know, she's always like, you know, you could still have a kid. She's always like very pro, like, doesn't matter. You can still procreate. She's into procreation. So it's like,
Got it. Do you want kids?
I don't. Well, there's an interesting plot twist to this whole thing.
Oh, uh-huh.
Just queerness. Which is something I can't wait to talk about on stage because I'm stuck in this Melania thing. But I did meet a cis dude and we got together. So we're together.
Okay.
And that's fun. You know, I'm queer. I'm still queer. I'm like even more queer actually, to be honest. I'm more politically active.
Would you say you're more fluid then? Would you say yeah. You're probably more fluid, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm more fluid, I'd
yeah,
say.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I like queer because it's an umbrella.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, that made me more politically active because I noticed a difference like when I was with a woman and like walking down the street and like you don't notice it because you're so used to it. Like people looking at you and just noticing you in a different way and your level of safety at different times. Mm-hmm. And then with him, I noticed how we were validated like every step we took and safe. We're always safe. We're never not safe.
Well, I've dated guys that I've never felt safe around. So I recently was dating a guy. He was such a fucking smoker. Like he would like get shit faced and he would smoke and then he would go out for smokes while I'm sleeping and then not lock the door.
Oh,
and then I would wake up and I'm like, what the fuck? You didn't lock the fucking door. And he was like, oh, he's like, my bad. I'm like, my bad. I fucking got stabbed at night, you fucker. Like, just because.
Yeah, there's legit people who like look for that. Like, that's, I mean, you're from New York, you know, like there's people who are looking for easy ways to go do some shit.
Yes, yes. And safety is not something I usually feel around. Cis guys, at least the one.
Yeah, and you know, statistically, and I agree. Like, I feel like, you know, I've had lots of, especially cis white dudes, do terrible shit to me. So I'm like, you know, when I see them coming, I'm like, cross the street, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know what it was? I think this whole misogyny, this whole fucked up concept of looking at women as just properties and like, possessions to be owned or second class citizens. I would say that like maybe in the West, there's a lot less misogyny. It's still there, but it's a lot less than what you see in South Asia and Middle East when it's so blatant and in your face, where they're just like, oh yeah, you're totally second class citizens. Did you know that? Like you're totally less than me. Why do you not know this? Oh, it says it in the Quran. It says it in the Quran that you're less of a being than I am. Like it's,
You know, my friend,
what the fuck?
My friend was just telling me, she was like, she's Italian as well. And she was like, I told my mom, like, why are we letting my brother and my dad just sit there while we clean up? And she's like, that's what we do in this family. That's who we are. It's like, what are you talking? I'm their maid? Is that what we're saying?
No, but that's exactly what it is. Listen, when I moved out here, I have four older brothers. I'm the youngest and the only daughter in the family. At 15, when I moved out here, my brothers very blatantly looked in my face, straight in my fucking face. They looked and they're like, don't get any ideas. You're just here to cook and clean for us. Don't get any ideas. I was like, when I turn 18, I'm going to pack my shit. I'm going to get the fuck out of here. And that's exactly what the fuck I did. I was like, I'm out. Deuces.
That's awesome.
I'm fucking out. You know, I think there's only so much shit you can take. Also, I grew up in a very domestically violent household. My brothers would like take turns beating the shit out of me. I would have to call the cops on my brothers. It was like this one giant fucking shit show. So that's why I was just like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Like, it's just so bad. You know, beginning of this year, I had the U.S. Department of State reach out to me because they wanted me to be part of a documentary that they're doing. And they included me in it because what they're doing is they're running these, in a way you can say it's kind of propaganda, but I guess you can say it's a kind of a good propaganda in a way, maybe. I don't know. That remains to be seen. And they wanted me to, they did a whole, like a documentary on me about being a Muslim female stand-up comedian in America And speaking up for women's rights, because I emceed the Women's March in San Francisco last year in front of 60,000 people. And that was like a really big thing. And that was a big propeller for me. But they could look up at me as like this, you know, advocate for women and like a big, like being a big feminist and stuff like that. And they were like, yeah, because what's happening in a lot of Muslim countries, you know, in former Soviet Union, is that they have a huge culture. They're not letting women march in the streets. Imagine that. They're not letting women, which is some like suffragette shit, right? Back in the 20s, suffragettes had to like literally make bombs at home and fucking burn the fucking buildings down to be like, we're not being heard. Like, you don't give a shit about us, you know? And that's exactly now, if you see that shift is happening in the Muslim countries or predominantly Muslim countries where women are rising up and the men are just doing everything to hold them down. And, you know, and now we're back to fucking the same shit here with Roe versus Wade in America. And I'm like, where, how many hours did we turn our clock back in this country?
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. I think also I heard someone talking about how, you know, because sometimes like when speaking out, there's like this line where people speak out about the way women are treated in Muslim countries when they're not Muslim. They're not from that part of the world.
Yes.
And there's a line where they can start to get like discriminatory slash racist slash just start to be a jerk. And then like, how do you find the line? Like, how do you talk about it when you're like, that's fucked up, but I'm not saying the like whole thing, you know, it's like this, how do you talk about it without, I guess, shitting on it? Cause I feel that like no one knows how to do that.
You mean somebody like yourself or like a non-Muslim or a non-Middle Eastern or non-South Asian person? I think when you, I honestly would not find it offensive in any way, and never have I found it offensive when people come out and spit out facts. Like, facts are facts. I don't give a shit. Like, if somebody's coming out and saying like, look, acid attacks are a real fucking problem in South Asia.
That's
a fact. Nobody is gonna be like, oh, you're being racist. If Lauren comes out and tells me, Mona, isn't acid attacks a big problem in South Asia? I'm like, you're absolutely correct, Lauren. That is a huge problem in South Asia. That is not racist. Those are facts.
Yeah.
Those are facts. You can't deny that. You can't deny the fact that, you know, church and separation of church and state is not a common thing in Muslim countries. That's a fucking fact. That is not racist. How is that racist? Listen, Lauren, let me tell you something. I, who is a Pakistani, born and raised in Pakistan, a Muslim woman, has been accused of Islamophobia, has been accused of racism, has been accused of, you know, like putting down my own culture. Why? Because I take a very strong stance against shit like that. So it's not just you. They come after me too. And I am from there. Imagine that shit. It's not just you.
I feel that. I get a lot of shit because I'm very hard on the Italian-American community. And I call them out for their shit. I call them out straight up. And I use language that is like, I use strong language to wake them the F up because they just don't want to wake up.
You can
and
curse.
So I got accused, and it's funny, I got accused of being racist against Italians. I'm like, but see, that's not what
there it is. There
that's
it
not
is.
What racism means. That's not, that's
there,
not.
There it is. There it is. If I ever come out and criticize what is happening to, you know, the kind of shit that we do, for instance, like we have a huge problem in Pakistan when it comes to taking care of minorities, minorities as in Christians, minorities as in Hindus. We had like maybe a very small population of Jews left. I think we've managed to kill them all. And they're treated like garbage. They're treated like trash. Okay. So I think my problem is that we as Muslims are, and even as Pakistani Muslims, can't sit in America and be like, we're Muslims and we're not, there's Islamophobia and we're not being treated well. You're right. You know what? That is probably happening in some cases, and I'm not denying that. But we also have to look in our own fucking backyard that we are Pakistanis who are living in Pakistan are not treating the minorities such as Christians and Hindus not well. Like, that is also a fucking problem. If you're going to talk about injustice in one part, you can't deny injustice on the other part. Like, there's shit going down, right? And I think that's the stuff that really fucking irks me when we sit here or some other people sit here and, you know, are just like, oh my God, I'm such a victim. And it's just like, well, bitch, you know, guess what? They're fucking fellow Pakistanis sitting in Pakistan fucking victimizing minorities, okay? And motherfuckers are acting like big shit, and bitch, I don't see you opening your mouth for them, so shut the fuck up, you know? And that's where my problem's at.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Italian Americans, too, they like to think, like, you know, racist, like, whatever, discrimination. They use racist word, racism wrong, but the discrimination's only a problem when it's directed towards Italian Americans. Mm-hmm. And everyone else needs to take it as a joke, but when it comes to saying anything about Italian Americans, they're super sensitive. And all of a sudden, and you know, it's sad when all we do is, like cling on to this sort of this superficial identity, which includes like an accent and mannerisms, which only is really understood in a very small part of the world, yeah. To try to get some sort of validation. It's really pathetic. And what comes with that is often like racism, like hating on Black folks is something that Italian Americans take as like a part of our cultural identity in a sick way. Now, not everyone, of course, but that's, you know, I'm like, fuck
you. It's not just Italian culture, yeah. South Asian culture, you know, yeah. We are dark-skinned people, and we somehow think that we're superior to the Blacks. You motherfuckers need to check yourself. This lady, I have this Black girlfriend of mine, and she's a comic too, and she was telling me that her friend, who's also Black, told this Indian woman that, hey, did you know that you're a person of color? And this bitch was devastated. She was devastated. I was like, did this bitch just learn she's a person of color? But she thought somehow that she was superior to a Black person. And it's like, okay, fucking check yourself. We are all in the fucking same boat. We are all Americans. And if we are not ones who are standing up and fighting, for our Black brothers and sisters who are fucking getting butchered and murdered every day, then you know what? If shit comes our way, we fucking deserve it because we kept our mouth shut when injustice was happening to somebody else.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all like it's all connected. And then it all just kind of, if you know, you let one go and then it just the dominoes fall.
100%. On everyone. That goes for the LGBTQ community, right? Yeah. If you're okay with prejudice in one and you're not okay with, I mean, it's just.
Yeah. And like women don't, and like, you know, suburban white women just don't get it. Like they're starting to get, some people are starting to get it, but that it's just, you know, you got it as the like people who benefit from privilege and in a lot of ways, you know, it's your responsibility to stand up against it.
Right.
But if you don't do that, then guess what? You're not going to be happy with reproductive access, like reproductive healthcare access for your daughters. Well, guess what? You didn't say shit because it's all connected. They're just, what is the Donald Trump administration? I don't call him Trump, by the way, because he doesn't deserve that. He is Donald, just like Hillary is Hillary. So right. Donald administration is just, what are they doing? They're like, you know, not only shitting on immigrants, shitting on Black people, they're also like shitting on women and like limiting reproductive access.
Women, shitting on LGBTQ. Listen, anybody who's not a cis white male is getting shit on, period.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's fucking.
Yeah. I mean, look who he has in his administration. He has white supremacists are running the country. Essentially.
Some very fine people.
Very fun. And that's a sad thing about fucking Italians, because you know Italian Americans like love to shit on people of color, but then guess what, the same like white supremacist movement which they've gotten like sucked into now without even realizing it, they're like parroting these white supremacists. Like the hardcore white supremacists don't want the Italians. You're only like aligning yourself with people who don't like you.
Exactly. You're aligning yourself with people who look at you as fucking invaders and immigrants. Because you speak another language.
Well, Italian Americans don't speak language. The Italian, they forgot it.
You're probably what? You're like third or fourth generation? What are you?
I'm second. Well, I'm third. It's like third. Yeah, I'm like third. Second, third. Depends. Like my grandfather came over on the boat. So on that immigrant story is like very much
immigrant
a part of my family.
You're second then.
Yeah, second.
You're second. I'm an immigrant. Like I'm a straight up immigrant. Like there's no, I was like fresh off the boat when I was 15, and now I'm not, you know.
So Italian Americans like to use this whole thing like, well, we learned English. Well, we were good immigrants. Does the South Asian community, do they use that good, we were good immigrants thing?
Yes. Well, I came the legal way. I got an education. I did the right thing. I followed the law. And like, nobody's denying that. Like, I'm sure you did follow the law. I'm sure you did. you know, but you had that luxury. You weren't being fucking chased out of your country while somebody was fucking shooting and killing and pillaging your fucking village, right? So yeah. Let's put that shit in perspective. I think we also have a lot of this thing in our South Asian culture where it's just like, well, these people that are coming in without papers, you know, why don't they just come through the legal channel? Why don't they just come through the right way? And it's like, wait, let me understand this. If your government is in a fuck, if your government is not doing a good job protecting you, you have like whatever fucking gangs or cartels or whatever the fuck are like coming and fucking, you know, killing the men, you know, pillaging you, trying to rape you, trying to murder your kids. There's no time to go and try to do it the right way. Like, there's no time for that. You're literally just grabbing the last shit you can get. You grab your children and you fucking run. Like, what else are you supposed to do? Look at what happens to the Syrians. I mean, people got fucking butchered left and right. 6 million people were displaced. 6 million. That is a huge number, okay? The number one country that took in most Syrian refugees, Turkey. Second country that took in the most refugees, Germany. When you go to Germany, the way they have embraced immigrants, they are just, Angela Merkel is just, I just have so much love and respect for that woman. She is just so magnificent. Like, you know, there was a lot of immigrant phobia. I went to Germany. I was in Cologne. My ex is a German scientist, and he lives there now. And I was visiting him. And, you know, right behind his building was this empty bank that has been turned into refugee camps, you know, to give them dignity, to not put them in fucking bullshit ass camps, to get them back to proper housing. You know, the first thing that the German government does that when you come in as a refugee is that they give you monthly allowance. They house you for free. And they give you free classes to learn German and English.
Wow.
Their system is so extraordinary. I can't even describe. I mean, there was a lot of like immigrant phobia initially when they had come to Germany. And then people were just like, no, like, we'll figure it out. Like, these people, nobody leaves their, let me tell you something, as somebody who moved out from Pakistan, nobody leaves their home because it wasn't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody leaves their home. Like, you know the amount of shit you have to eat as an immigrant when you come here and when you're poor and you're living in a one-bedroom basement apartment, five of you, while roaches are fucking crawling the place, and you don't know where the fuck your next meal is gonna come from. Nobody wants that life, Lauren. Nobody yeah. wants that life. You leave because there's no peace from where you come from. There's no stability. You're worried about, you know, you're fearful of your life, which is why you fucking leave your home.
And, like, I think really important is that, like, also people come here dreaming of a better life. And don't right. we want those kinds of people here? Like, yes. They're dreaming. We want people who are, like, inspired to create something better. Right. And why wouldn't we want to invite those people here?
Hard workers. Like, I mean, immigrants are some of the hardest working people I've known.
Yeah.
Myself included. Always. I mean, I mean, this is not in a boasting way. I put in about 8,200 hours a week in work.
I hear you. Yeah.
That's what I do. I mean, you just have to fucking bust your ass. You want it? You gotta fucking work for it. I'm not sitting around like fucking Melania Trump that I can go and blow a fucking billionaire, you know, and suck yeah. balls to be just, yeah. I want my build speed. Like, no, nobody's doing that shit.
Yeah. I feel like we like people, because I come from that kind of mentality, from yeah. the immigrant story was very present. And it was basically like, you got to work like you're starving.
Yeah.
All the time.
Every day. Like, that's your work ethic. Like, you are not to take any handouts from the government. You are not to depend on anybody.
Yeah. Totally. And like, and also, like, people like to say, well, when we came, Italian Americans, I'm talking about, like, they'd be like, well, we came to the US, like, we were just full on like Americans doing the thing. And what they don't say is, what a lot of people don't know is that a lot of Italian Americans, when they came here during World War II, supported Mussolini. When my grandfather came back from the war, like, he sat down with his dad, and his dad was like talking shit about, like, yeah, Mussolini is blah, 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 like, you fucking, whatever. like basically like being pro Mussolini in front of my grandfather who just almost took a bullet for the country.
That was the amazing. Like, Amanda Matt, thank you so much for joining us.
Like, it was a cause of risk.
See you
but
guys
people don't want to like Italian American. It's like collective amnesia, but just like collective memory about like how we were as immigrants.
We were immigrants, artists from around the world.
Exactly. And meanwhile, also my great grandfather was saying that in Sicilian, okay, because he never learned English. So let's be clear.
Artists, change makers, you name it.
I'm a really good American.
Thank you very much for tuning in.
I embrace the culture altogether, but I just don't speak.
Yes, exactly.
Gotta love it, man. But you know, it's, I mean, look, I think a lot of people have their blind spots, and I think that's the blind spots of, you know, like my mom, for instance, became a citizen this year. And if you ask my mom, you know, you're an American now. She's like, no, America is white people. What? What the hell are you talking about? She's like, no, I get citizenship, but it is not my country. I am American, but I am not American. You know, there's always like this kind of feeling that you are not welcomed or you don't belong because of whatever, you know, shit that she has witnessed because of Islamophobia or because of immigrant phobia or whatever the fuck people have, you know. I'm like, I am as fucking American as they fucking come. I had been here like 25 years of my fucking life. So,
man, I hear you. Like, if I could be, I've lived around the world, and like, if I could be anywhere else, I would. I don't want to be here. Like, I wouldn't want to have to deal with this shit. But then I realize, oh my God, when I go somewhere else, I realize how American I am. So I'm like, it's my right.
Yeah. Listen, I hope to God that I'm wrong, but I think we might be witnessing the end of American democracy if the old GOP and if the Democrats don't get their shit together. We are going to be in a giant, shitbowl because this asshole wants checks and balances gone. And someone who grew up under a dictatorship in Pakistan, I assure you this man wants a dictatorship. Everything he is doing with the civil unrest, with trying to take the cause of the BLM, Black Lives Matter, and turning it into something of his own political agenda to eventually be like, see, I can't have elections because you guys, you know, you guys causing all the civil unrest. You know what? Martial law. And that's how that shit began. When I saw fucking tanks and fucking Hummers in the street with armed men, Lauren, I had massive PTSD, man. Massive PTSD. I was like, yo, I grew up with this shit. Like, I don't want to go through this shit again. Like, I don't even have... I'll be like, yo, just put a bullet in my head. Like, I don't fucking have
this. Yeah. What was going to happen is that it will be Donald for another few years, and then it's going to be another 8 years of Ivanka. And people think I'm crazy, but I'm like, it's happening. They are, and I'm going to actually take on the character of Ivanka because shoot me. But it's so hard because then I have to sort of understand her more. And it's a really twisted mind to get into. That's what they're doing. Cause I do these characters because it's just like with Melania, they use her to try to soften his image. And that's one of the things that propelled me forward because they tried it. Like right now there was an article by CNN and I'm writing something as a response to it.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Caperland. Yeah, Caperland. I'm sorry. That's a comedian. by this, I'll get the author, but she wrote the book Free Melania, and I wrote an article on CNN about how the West Wing is upset that Melania tweets things that are slightly like in opposition to Donald, like right after Donald tweets. First of all, Melania does not tweet. Melania has not been on social media for years. So it's not her doing it. It's a collaboration between the East and West Wing. So what they do is they time a tweet after Donald says something. Melania will say something that kind of like shows like maybe she doesn't agree with him. So you think, oh, Melania's in there making Donald like care less about, like care more about people, be more open-minded. And like even like in a John Oliver segment, John Oliver pointed out how, like with Ivanka, how that works. They also use Ivanka in a similar way. And like, she was even, Gayle King was even caught like talking about like Ivanka and how, well, she'll be the ab when Donald won. Like, well, she'll be in the White House helping Donald be more open to LGBT and la, 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 la. When meanwhile, Ivanka has never stated anything positive or supportive of like LGBT people. It's like people, they do things to try to make and this Ivanka even wrote about this in her book, like the Trumps do things when you have an assumption about them, they'll let you because if it's beneficial to them.
Sure.
And that's what they're deliberately, the whole jacket thing, I honestly believe was just a ploy to get you to believe that Donald, that Melania has some sort of independent mind and thinking to Donald.
That's right. Which she doesn't. Well, I mean, I didn't even look at it as her having an independent mind. I looked at it as her reinforcing his belief system.
Yes. Yes. So some people thought it was like she
said, I really don't care, do you? And it's like, yeah, but that's exactly what your husband feels.
You know? Yeah, totally. Totally. And like that she went to the border and she like stood up against him, went to the border and told him that, you know, separation from children and parents was unacceptable and la 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 la, and the like the LeBron James thing. I mean, it's all planned. They all plan it together and they write her tweets together. It's such like bullshit and people believe it.
Well, I can't wait for him to go to prison. But Lauren, where can we find you? This was a very fun
position. Okay, find everything is all my links for all of time. Thank you. You can find me at laurenlogi.com. That like you'll have links to kind of my universe of stuff. My book's coming out in a few weeks. And I'll have everything's at themelaniashow.com as well. But laurenlogi.com will lead you everywhere you need to go.
Awesome. 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 Well, Lauren, thank you so much for joining me. This was a really
fun
conversation. I appreciate it. And I hope to catch one of your Melania shows soon.
Excellent. Excellent.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
bye.
Take care.
Thank you, Mona. Okay.
Bye. Well, that was our episode with the very funny Melania Trump, aka Lauren. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Mona's Comedy. You can follow me on Facebook at Mona Shea Comedian and subscribe to the Mona Shea Comedian channel. And I'll see you guys next time.